100 Bigfoot Nights, a chilling true story. Our guest this evening, Christine Della Parker, is an unsuspecting mother who became burdened with an incredible situation. She's been through many struggles and continues to document the creatures around her home. Has her family been tortured by cryptids, a Bigfoot, or worse? We'll continue to find out that story. Now, as our guest told us in the last segment, at one point they heard loud baying, loud cries and noises that they actually recorded. We've got some of those recordings that we're going to play right now for you, so you can hear a little bit about this. Then we'll come back and we'll talk with Christine about this. Would you go into the woods after hearing these noises? Let's go ahead and play those for you now. Now, we could hear the sound of a train in the background and then what appears to be the dogs reacting to the loud howls and screams coming from the woods around our guest's home. We'll find out about her encounter and what happened when she and her family entered those woods. We'll do that right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Christine Della Parker is our guest this evening, and she's agreed to stay on into the next hour. We'll open up phone lines at the top of next hour. If you have questions or your own encounters with cryptids that you'd like to talk to Christine or with me about, you can be a part of the show at the top of next hour when we open it up. Christine, I know that the recordings we just played were not necessarily the ones you heard that led you into the woods, but if you start hearing cries and what sounds like screams like that coming from the woods, what in God's name would give you the desire to go out and investigate that?
Well, in the beginning, what happened was we determined what the howl was. My son came down and we played recordings, and we discovered that it was the howl of a Bigfoot that was recorded at some time ago.
Okay.
And that's where everything becomes relevant, because then I filled out a report online to a organization that investigates them. And I just typed in there what we heard, that we had heard the howling. I didn't really think they would respond because it wasn't a sighting, it was a howling. But then they sent an investigator to the house. And the story tells about how what happens to you when you file a report and you get an investigator to your home. This is where the hyena story becomes relevant, because that's when I discovered that Bigfoots mimic other animals, and they're commonly described as looking like hyenas when people have seen them walking on all fours. And I didn't know that, and when I told him, he asked all the questions, you know, what's been happening and the dog's activity and stuff like that, and we began to explain to him, you know, the things started to become relevant. And when I told him the hyena story, he was like, oh, okay. And he said, you have no idea how many times I hear that. He said, because when they're on all fours, that's the way people describe them, exactly the way that I described it. And from that point forward, little did we know that it was going to become just a nightmare. He told us, and I'm sure that most of your listeners have probably heard this, that they're basically harmless. They are like people, and they're not going to hurt you. They're just looking for food. You know, they're just animals, and you know, all the things that you're used to hearing about them. And we believed him. And I thought, he said, well, we're going to run some investigations. We're going to put some food in the forest and do this and do that. You know, go through the process. And I don't know what we were thinking, but we weren't thinking what I actually saw. We were thinking what everybody else thinks, like what you would think, or somebody who didn't know about these creatures would think, that what he's telling me is the truth. You know, they're red, they're big, and they're human looking, and you know, they won't harm people, and they're kind, and you know, all these things.
Well, and I got to be honest with you, Christine. This is the first time I think I've ever heard somebody say that, the Bigfoot can sometimes appear to look hyena-like. I've never heard that description. I've heard of the Dogman creatures. Do you believe that maybe you have more than one type of cryptid that lives around your home? Could it be that there are different races from Bigfoot to Dogman and other things that might be out there?
Yes. We have, I know for a fact that we have the Bigfoot, and I think there's two species.
Mm-hmm.
One I saw the most. The others I saw one night. And the Dogman, absolutely. And I did not know the difference between any of them. I'm thinking Bigfoot looks like what you see on a television show. You know, this what you're used to being told until the night I saw them. And when I saw them, I thought to myself, that is not what's on TV. That does not look like that thing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching these creatures repeatedly every night. I learned to use a night vision scope. It took me months going up and down the stairs, learning the forest, learning it. It took a long time, many hours. And I finally learned how to use it. And when I saw them for the first time, I could not believe what I was watching.
Let me ask you this. With the audio that you've caught, and you've caught multiple audio, if you go to 100bigfootnights.com, and I think there's a link to it up at coasttocoastam.com, if you go to your website, you have other audio links there. Now, I'm not an avid outdoorsman, but having watched documentaries on animals and things, and having been in the woods on occasion on a few times, that some of that howling and screeching almost sounds like a coyote to me. Have you had an animal expert review any of those sounds to see if they could give you some insight, aside from a Bigfoot investigator? Because again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but so many of what I hear are claims of Bigfoot screams and cries sound like howling animals to me. They sound like a coyote or a wolf in the woods. And, you know, I mean, the convenient answer of, well, they mimic other animals. You know, I mean, you understand that part of it. That doesn't really hold water. So it could be a Bigfoot, but it's trying to sound like a coyote. That just sounds bizarre to me. It's either coyote or it's not.
Well, the ones that I claim are Bigfoot, the audio recordings, the ones where I say this is a Bigfoot,
was
identified by the investigator, not me.
Okay? Right, by the investigator. But have you ever had a third party, a zoologist or an animal expert, not a Bigfoot expert, try to listen to those sounds and critique them to tell you what they think they are?
No, but
on the
YouTube, they can download them, and they can write whatever they think they are on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dispute anybody's saying it's this or it's that. There are some that I know for a fact are not normal, and if you can find one that sounds like it, more power to you. You know, go ahead and post it. But I have not had an expert look at them or analyze them because I couldn't get any help to do so. I tried when it first happened, you know, when we were first going through all this, to get additional help, and it was like no one wanted to help.
As soon as you start making claims of Bigfoot, a lot of serious investigators in the zoology, not cryptozoology, but in the zoology departments, are probably rolling their eyes, thinking it's just another misidentified creature. I understand that, but it can be frustrating.
And I'm a woman too. So it's very difficult. So I just figured, well, you know, we're recording these sounds. I'm going to post them. Some of them I could tell are mimicking sounds because I have heard the regular animals recorded.
Mm-hmm.
We record a lot of stuff. The ones where they're talking and all that and the language, you can't even make that up. There's no way you can even duplicate those sounds. It's not humanly possible.
Well, and you started to talk to us in the last hour about how you and your family started to go into the woods. Let's talk a little bit about that, what that encounter was like. Did you see or hear something that first time after you'd heard these howls, you decided you guys were going to go in and investigate. Were you loaded for bear? I mean, did you have guns or some kind of weapons with you to go into the woods?
Well, when we first heard the howling, when my husband and I did, and our son, yes, my husband was packing. We did not decide to go in and investigate these creatures. The investigator decided that he was going to do that. And one of my sons is fascinated. You know, he wanted to put experiments out there and do more stuff. And I didn't want him in the woods at night because he came home in the evening. And so it just so happened that my husband and I ended up being the ones to check the traps or check the bait that they put out and all that stuff. Yes, I would not think that I would just want to go investigate, but that's what happened. And as we got into the investigation, you have to think, we have a professional with us who is leading the investigation. He is telling us one thing, and it's kind of, I don't want to say exciting, but I would say it's strange when you find out that there's a Bigfoot across the street, or you find out there's one creature, and I'm thinking the whole world's looking for this thing. And here we have one, and it's across the street. And if we could just prove it, maybe he could capture it, you know, and take it with him. Or, you know, I'm thinking he'll remove it. He'll call in a team, they'll come get it, and take this thing out of here. Because I don't want it near my house. I don't want it around my house. I don't want it anywhere near us. And that was my thought. I'm thinking once we find out what kind and how big it is or whatever, he can remove it. The whole time I'm thinking that they'll take it away. They'll remove this thing. Until I saw them and then realized that, oh, my God, there's no way that was going to happen. No way. And there wasn't just one. There was many of them. It wasn't one rare creature running around. It was a lot of them. And then when I started watching the force, I was obsessed with watching it every day because I was terrified. And I started seeing other things moving around, you know, these littler ones, and they were dark in color. And I kept thinking, wow, that's bizarre, you know, looking. And it just became an obsession with watching the forest after that. It shook a tree once when I was staying in the office in the beginning. I was looking out the window, and I was looking at the forest in the morning, and all of a sudden a tree shook. And it was the way it shook. It was a orange tree, and it was between the green trees. And it shook from top to bottom all at once. And it was a big tree. It wasn't some little tree. It just shook. And it shook very quickly and very rough, hard. And I kept thinking, oh, my God, something just shook a tree at me. And that kind of freaked me out. That was the first time that I had the idea that they weren't just nocturnal. They didn't just come out at night. They were out during the day. And then I needed to keep an eye on the forest during the day. So I started to leave the microphones on during the day. We set up, we had cameras on the front door, and they had microphones. And I started to hear the same sounds that we heard at night, the banging, the pilling, the just weird sounds. And I thought, there's something moving through that forest during the day. The sounds were similar. And I would get binoculars, and I would look at the forest, and I would go upstairs and look with binoculars and, you know, search the forest endlessly until one day I saw one standing there. And I couldn't see his face. All I could see was his upper torso. He was standing next to a tree. It was facing the street, no more than 10 feet in, right where would be our blind spot, which would be our garage area, in between our house and the neighbors. And he was standing there, and I could clearly see it. And he was scratching the inside of his arms, his elbows, with his hands, like with the back of his other hand. He was just scratching back and forth, one arm, then the other arm, and back and forth. And I'm watching him, and I'm counting his fingers repeatedly, because I can't believe that I'm seeing this thing just standing there, look, you know, standing broad daylight, 10 o'clock in the morning, just standing there. And he was dark in color. He had dark fur. He had, or hair, I don't know what they call it, fur or hair. And it was medium length. It wasn't long. It was medium, except for where his shoulders were. They were silver, a little bit longer on the shoulders, silver, and silver colored. His chest was lighter in color, like there was less hair. And I could see his, you know, his, he wasn't a female. I could tell that because he didn't have protruding breasts.
Okay.
So I could see him. I could see his you know, his breasts. But they weren't protruding. He was muscular. I mean, built like somebody that would lift weights, you know, just bulging with muscles. Yet he was thin. He was extremely thin. And I just watched him and watched him. And I tried to get a better view. I tried to mark, you know, try to mentally mark the trees and then run downstairs and try to get a view of his face. I kept dying to see his face. Like, I want to see your face. I want to see your face. And I couldn't get his face. And because he was standing where the trees, where the brush came right across the face. And he wasn't standing against a tree or in a tree. He was standing on the side of the tree in full view in his torso. And I kept watching him thinking, he looks so calm and so relaxed, like he's done it 1,000 times before. He was not afraid. He's not fearful. He just, like I was just out for my stroll, and this is where I'm standing and just looking around the neighborhood. And
Did you ever approach your neighbors at this point with all of this activity? Did you ever go over to the neighbors and be like, what the hell is going on in our neighborhood here?
No. One, when we first discovered that it was a Bigfoot howling, I was watching the cameras one night, and I saw the neighbor going into the forest with a flashlight. It was our next-door neighbor. And I panicked. And I jumped up, and I ran outside to stop him because I didn't want him in the forest. And I told him at that time, I caught him before he went in, and I told him that we suspected there was a Bigfoot in the forest because we heard that howl, the initial howling. And he kind of just hemmed and hawed. And, you know, it was a weird conversation, awkward. And he said, well, you know, there are deers and coyotes. And, you know, he named off a lot of animals. And I said, yeah, I know. And he said, well, you know, maybe that's what you heard. I said, no, that is definitely not what we heard. We know what we heard, and it was not any of that. And that was the first time that I informed the neighbors. And it was awkward. After that, he continued to go into the forest with flashlights for a few days. They were looking for their cats. They had a lot of cats at the time, and they kept turning up missing, all the different cats that they had. Well, later on, we heard a growl in the forest one night, and I looked at the monitor, and I could hear talking. Now, you could tell the difference between people and those things. And I heard talking, and I looked at the camera over the garage, and I saw it was our neighbor and his wife, and they were going into they were running to the forest. So I knew something happened. Prior to that, we heard a horrible scream and all kinds of stuff. But I figured the Bigfoots were killing the raccoons. You know, you hear the raccoons screaming all the time. And I ran out there to talk to them. And evidently, their daughter was standing on the front driveway with her boyfriend. And she heard the scream that we heard, which was a horrible scream. It was horrible. And she ran in and told her parents that something was dying or being killed in the forest. It scared her. So they ran out of the house, and he had his pistol on him, and they ran. And right before they entered the forest, 10 feet before they got to the path, something came down a tree. This is their story. It started breaking limbs, and they could hear it coming down a tree. They heard two of them, and they heard when it hit the ground and landed on its feet. She said she could have sworn the ground shook.
We have to take our break. Christine Della Parker, our guest, 100 Bigfoot Nights. A chilling true story continues on Coast to Coast AM. Christine Della Parker, my guest this evening, 100 Bigfoot Nights, a chilling true story. And 100 Bigfoot Nights, The Nightmare Continues. That's the name of her two books. We've got links to them up at the Coast to Coast AM website. While you're there, sign up to become a Coast Insider. You'll get access to over 5 years of past episodes. You'll get access to live chats with the hosts of Coast to Coast and so many of the great guests that you hear live here. You'll also find news and other interesting bits. So go check it out for 15 cents a day. You can become a Coast Insider. And while you're there, check out the information on Beyond Belief with George Norrie. If you're a George Norrie fan, you do not want to miss this. Right now, it's free for 30 days. You can watch Beyond Belief free for 30 days with George Norrie. Check that out. Make sure that you sign up or go to beyondbelief.com for more information regarding that. When we come back, we're going to talk more with our guest, Christine Della Parker, about her encounters with these beasts. Bigfoot? Dogman? Or is it just coyotes and regular wild animals running free in the woods there? What do you think that she's encountering? We'll take your calls at the top of the next hour, and we'd like to hear your input on this. And if you have questions for our guests or your own encounters, we'd like to hear those as well. Join me live in my chat room right now at darknessradio.com. It's free. It's easy to access right on our front page. You can sign in with Facebook, Twitter, or just sign in as a guest and interact with the other people in there and be able to interact with me if you have questions for our guests during the show. If you'd like to email me questions, you can also email them to Dave at darknessradio.com. That's Dave at darknessradio.com. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this. All right, we're back with Coast to Coast AM. Christine, I need to ask you, do you still live in this house?
Yes, I do.
Does activity still occur with these creatures? Okay.
Yes, it does. How
long have you lived in that house?
We've been here about eight years now.
8 years.
Maybe eight or nine.
And I know that you use a pseudonym and you don't really give a specific area that you live in the book in order to protect your neighborhood and your neighbors. Can you at least tell us what state that you're located in?
Well, I'd rather not say.
Can you tell us what part of the country?
Or in the South.
Okay.
Or in the South. Now,
in
it's not South. That I have to think about my neighbors and I have to think about our family. And I will tell you this, that if anybody, what I found out living here, is that the minute those things are messed with, the minute somebody runs in there and starts messing with them, or investigating them or doing stuff, we get the repercussions from it. Because we're still in the house and we're still here, if there's any connection to us, it would ramp up bad. And we've had some bad incidences happen. We had no business messing with those things. We had no business going in that forest. We had no business doing what we were doing as amateurs, as people that were unaware. And I know people think that, wow, you know, it's exciting. You know, I would like to meet that Bigfoot or do something. And I understand that. And I would be more than happy to disclose that forest. And I would dare anybody to go in there at night or sit in there at night. Because you're going to get what you're looking for. I guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Christine.
Here's
the thing. First of all, I would like to know if in the future you'd like to revisit, at least maybe for a brief segment, if I was able to get a zoologist to listen to some of the sounds and see if he might be able to give us some insights on what it is. And does it truly not really fit into a category? Would you be interested in actually having somebody that is an animal linguist or a zoologist listen to those recordings and see if they can weigh in?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll try to arrange that. Here's the other thing. What I would like to do is I would like to talk to you, and we'll talk off air. If you are open to the idea without creating fanfare or a mess, I do. I would be more than happy to come out and be in those woods at night and investigate.
You?
Oh, yeah, not a problem. I would. This is something that intrigues me, and if it truly exists in your area and it's this radically
absolutely
intrusive, I've got a few investigators that I know that are very prominent in the cryptozoological field. We would come in without disturbing your home or your immediate area. We wouldn't pull into your driveway, so these beasts don't have to know that we're with you.
See, I noticed that with our investigators that after a few incidences, he would park a block away and then walk. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it at the time. You know, at the time I didn't know what was going on. But it has something to do with he didn't want to be seen coming from our house.
Sure.
And that's what he was doing, why he was parking a block away and then going into the forest and then coming out. But absolutely, I would be thrilled if you would like to come, bring whoever you want. Absolutely, 100%.
Well, and here's what I'm thinking, because it's very easy to sit at home and listen to this radio show and think this lady is nuts. She obviously needs medication. There's no way this could be going on in a town like this. And you can understand their trepidation and their skepticism about this. To me, this kind of challenge is like telling me that the ghost of Elvis walks into Perkins here in Minneapolis every Wednesday night at 3 o'clock. If I don't show up and at least look at it to see if that occurs or not, I'm cheating myself. I've done this repeatedly. I've gone into haunted locations. I've gone to UFO hotspots and witnessed these things myself firsthand. With as active as you claim your area is, I would be very interested in doing that, and then maybe we can report back on Coast to Coast AM in the future with George about what our findings are.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Well, then we'll definitely communicate off air about doing that. And trust me, that comes a long way for a guy that does not like the woods or the area. But it's so intriguing to me that if you're having that much activity, I would need to see that and see for myself, is this real or is this some kind of hallucinatory effect that's happening to you and your family, to put that to the test. So we'll definitely arrange that.
And in addition to that, I have a lot more video and audio too.
Okay.
And I have some weird videos that, you know, they're hard to make out, and you could see it, but it's just, you know, I'm not an expert.
That's what we'll be coming with, is high-definition cameras. We'll come with high-definition cameras. We'll come with very good sound equipment so we don't have the grainy popping.
Awesome.
We don't have crappy black-and-white blurry video taken from a distance. We'll see if we can actually capture something. I've got access to thermal cams, to all types of different equipment. Okay, so I would be interested in that.
I would not have any problem with that, because people complain, you know, about my videos. I don't do this for a living.
Right.
I don't have the money or the resources
to
invest in that type of equipment, or to get somebody out here with that type of equipment, or, you know, that type of sound and audio and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically shopping at Amazon.com.
Okay.
You know, for what I could get. So,
well, now,
no,
you
I
said
don't
that,
have a problem with that.
You said that when you've messed with these things.
Yeah, you just have to be careful, you know.
It's amped up. Tell me about that, because we're coming into the end of our interview section before we open up the phone lines. Let's get to some severe meat. Let me know about the aggressive nature of these beasts, and what have they done when you have entered their domain? And give me some insight to what has happened after investigators have been out there poking around.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you now, or do you want me to wait till after the break?
No, go ahead. We've got about 10 minutes left here in the segment.
Well, the only thing that I have to say is that people come and they, you know, like he would come out and we messed with them. And the activity ramps up. As long as they don't feel threatened, I think you're okay. But if they feel threatened, or they feel like they're in danger, or, you know, anything like that, then it ramps up. And what I mean by ramping up is I mean that we've had incidences where they tried to get into the house. We've had incidences where they've interfered with our vehicles. They hit my husband when he was driving down the street. They hit our car. They're very aggressive. And I don't know. They know we know they're there. So since nothing's happened to them, they haven't been hunted down or, you know, had a lot of attention paid to that forest, we've kind of come to an agreement. You stay over there, and we'll stay over here. At least that's what we want to have happen.
Sure.
But it's not always, you know, getting to the mind of a creature. What do you think, you know?
Well, I would think some of the way to get there, too, I would love to actually kind of bombard the area with some of your recordings back to see if they respond to the cries.
Yeah, I'm just getting the chills.
Because if we've got your audio of it, you know, like dogs, if dogs will hear it. Actually, one of our listeners emailed me during the last segment and said that while they were playing the Bigfoot audio, it says, Dave just played the guest's Bigfoot recordings, and my cat, who is sitting next to me in the bed, seemed to be disturbed by what she heard. While the recording was being played, she jumped off the bed and paced the floor looking for the source of the sound. Once the recordings ended, she returned to the bed, but is looking around and occasionally in direction of the radio as if she's on alert. So again, could it be something that animals are, you know, would recognize? And if we played these screams, howls, and deals back into the woods, would we get any kind of immediate response?
Oh, God.
So, you know, I mean, then that's just some
you're
ideas.
You're more than welcome to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're a brave man. I'll just put it that way.
Brave or stupid, either way, it's going to be an interesting time. So we'll give it a
you're
shot and see and see how that goes.
Your life.
Have you? I hope it's the time of my life, not the end of my life. So talk to me about this. So with all the activity and action that takes place there, what is one of the most threatening and terrifying moments that you've spent with these creatures stalking or being around you?
I would say two of the most terrifying to me. There's been a lot, but one was the two times they tried to get into the house. One time my husband and I were sitting in the office. It was around 3 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't know what time it was because, you know, I hadn't, to me, days and nights sometimes run together.
Sure.
I'm staying up at night and day and night and day. You look at the clock to say if it's 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock in the morning. And we were sitting in the office, and we were doing, you know, he works on his computer, I work on mine, we do different things. And I didn't know what time it was. All I heard was the front door handle turn. And we have the type of handles that you can push down. And I heard the door banging back and forth. And the lock, the deadbolt was engaged. But when you push down the handle, it releases the door enough to where it can move a little, you know, before it catches the deadbolt. And I heard something push the lock down, and it started banging the door back and forth. And I thought it was our son coming home, you know, from work, because he comes home late. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to the door, and it's going, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then it does it again, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm thinking, what the heck, you know? Sometimes if he doesn't turn the key all the way, the deadbolt will catch. That's just natural. And I looked at my husband, and I said, I thought you said, and I said our son's name, was already home. You know, he was home. Or, yeah, he was home. And my husband came up from behind the desk. And all I heard was this, was the handle of the gun as he cocked it. He just went, you could hear the slide. And he went, and he stood up, and as he came around the desk, he looked at me, and he said, our son's name, he said, he is home. And I think right then and there, I lost 5 years off my life. I wheeled back in the chair, and I stood up, and I went, oh, my God. I wanted to die right then and there. And I backed up against the wall in the office, the opposite side. And he went to the door. He was standing in front of the door with his pistol pointed at it. And I had a gun near me. Of course, we always are armed. And I grabbed my pistol. And I unzipped it. I took it out of the bag, had it right there. And I was shaking. I was thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Something's coming through that door. And something's going to get shot. And he stood there, and I just kept looking at him like, don't open that door, don't open the door, whatever you do, don't open that door. And he leaned in, stopped, and he leaned in, he picked up the peephole. Now, I got a camera that's on the front door, it's looking away from the house. It can't see directly in front of the door, what's in front of it. And I'm looking at that camera, and I'm looking at the other camera that shoots across, like a perimeter, cross angle. And there's nothing moving. There's nothing out there. And he leans into the peephole. He looks out real quick, and he doesn't see anything. So he backs up, and he goes to the French doors, which is the circle around the front of the house. And he lets the dogs out. They go out, and he goes out right behind them. They're quiet. They're not making a noise. He comes around to the fence. It's a 6-foot wooden fence that we have. And he peeks over the fence, and he doesn't see anything. And he's looking around. He's got his gun, and he comes back around. I I have no words for how I felt. I could not even move. I was so scared. And he came back inside the house, and I'm watching those cameras to see if anything is moving, and nothing moves. And he comes in, and he says he couldn't find anything. There's nothing out there. And that was one moment that took years off my life. The other one was when we discovered footprints around the swimming pool. It was weird markings, like drag marks, steps. And the thing about those was we had just let the dogs out, and I brought them in. He was watching them. We watched the dogs when we let them out. He was watching the dogs, and he went to get something to drink. And I walked up to the French doors to get them back into the house, because we don't like them out very long. If they're out like a minute, maybe they have to go to the bathroom to get them back in. And I noticed there were all this water around the swimming pool. We have it's a large pool. It's about 36 feet long and probably 30 feet wide. It's massive. And there's marks.
And these things never take a dip in your pool?
Evidently they do.
You better check those traps and see if they're leaving any hair. That could be some great DNA evidence for you.
At that point, the investigator wanted to do that, and we told him, go ahead. You could do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check traps, you want to, I don't even care. But for us, it's not like I'm not looking to prove them. I've already seen them. We've already had experiences, and I've literally seen it. My son's seen it. The neighbors, like I said, it was crashing down that tree and then running through the forest. I mean, to us, there's no doubt. But if anybody wants evidence, that's where you'd look. You know what I mean? If you want hair or whatever, by all means, you could take it. But it's not proof for us. We've already seen them. They exist.
Right, but I thought you want them, you'd like them to leave that area. You'd like, why not bring people in? Why not alert, zoological groups or somebody that can come in and see what kind of creature is out there and what might be posing a threat? Because if it is coming into your area and it's trying to get into your home or it's using your pool, you are now suddenly in an environment where you and your family are in danger. I would think
Absolutely.
That animal rights,
Absolutely.
Or not animal rights, but animal control would definitely start investigating this.
You would think that, huh? And you would think that the investigator and the organization that knows about them would do something. You would think somebody would do something. You'd think the police department would do something.
Could I ask you?
We had two investigators at our house. You'd think they would do something. Nobody would do nothing.
Either one of the investigators, can you just tell me yes or no? Is it Tom Biscardi or is it Rick Dyer? Either one of those.
I don't know the name of the young man that came over.
Mm-hmm.
I know he knows who he is, but I don't know his name.
So you had an investigator come in, but you don't know who it was that you had come investigate?
No, this was the second one.
Okay.
The first one, the main one that we had, I know who he is. His name and all that. He's an older gentleman, and he used to be, I don't want to give him away, it's his business. But he writes a lot of the articles and investigates a lot of the cases on the internet, and he goes by a different name. Okay, yes, him, he's been here throughout. He was the one that was here from the beginning. He brought
the
second investigator.
We'll talk about that off air, and I'll get that information as well. We'll continue talking about your encounters, and we're going to open up phone lines now. So if you have questions for Christine Della Parker, please remain respectful. But if you have questions or you have your own experiences or some of these experiences mirror your own, I'd like to know about that. So give us a call and become part of the show. You're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.